Ben aferin. 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 Towards the bottom, six lines from the bottom, where the Gemara is discussing the order of the parashiyos as they first replace them to the shalosh. Both in the Tzimah Shal Yad and in the Tzimah Shal Rosh, they are supposed to put in four parashiyos. Those four parashiyos in the Chumash, which contained in the Tzimah, that consists of Kadesh, Vahayati, Viyachos, Shemar, Vahayam, Shemar. So the question the Gemara raises is exactly in what order do you put the parashiyos into the shalosh? We have four distinct compartments. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Tana Rabbana. Tana Rabbana always introduces the Braisa. Tana Rabbana, we have a Braisa. Ketzad Tzidron, exactly what is the order in which he's supposed to arrange the parashiyos in the Shalosh. So the Braisa says, Kadesh Lui V'Hayoti V'Yachon Yilin. On the right side, you have these two parashiyos. And then on the left side, Shema V'Hayom Shema Mismo. On the left side, you have the other two parashiyos. Then the Gemara of the Hatan Yitzchah, but we have another Braisa that says just the opposite. That Kadesh V'Hayoti V'Yachon is supposed to be on the left. And Shema V'Hayom Shema is supposed to be on the right. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayi, Lo Kashi. It all depends from whose viewpoint you're judging, right? So you judge Amar Abayi, Lo Kashi. It all depends. Khan, one guy is referring to Minishal Korei. And Khan, Minishal Minia. The guy who's like, he's going to be in one order. If you go from his right to his left, it's going to be one way. As far as the person facing him, it's in the opposite direction, so it'll be in the opposite direction. So which way is it? What's the correct answer? So the guy there, Machlok is, Rashi in place against other Rishonim, exactly which is the Niminishal Korei. Rashi in place assumes that Kadesh starts on our left side. The one who puts on film, he has Kadesh Hayakiviyako starting on the left side. And the other Rishonim say, no, that Kadesh Hayakiviyako starts on the right side of the Nimin HaMenecha, the one who's putting it on.
Who holds that right?
Shishi Moshe Rabba.
Right.
Moshe Rabba on the right. And then, Rabbi Natan has the famous machlokes with Rashi as far as the other detail. Why did the Braisa read both Braisa to Kadesh V'Yakiviyach on the right side, Shema V'Hayom Shmo on the left side of the verse, however you say? What do you mean to say Kadesh V'Yakiviyach? How are they written in the Chumash? They're written first Kadesh V'Yakiviyach one next to the other in Parshas Bo. Then you have Shema V'Hayom Shmo all later in verse Khan and Naked. So the order should be, that's what we assume. So the Rashi is Kadesh V'Yakiviyach, Shema V'Hayom Shmo. So why did the Braisa say Kadesh V'Yakiviyach on the left side? Then it says Shema V'Hayom Shmoa from the right side. From the right side? Going from the right is Shema V'Hayom Shmoa. You should say going from the right side, going from the left side is Kadesh V'Yakiviyach. Going from the right is V'Hayom Shmoa Shema. So now she says, drop that, because that's what it means. You go in order, the order that is written in the Torah. Now Ben Tam says, no, the Braisa means the Dafkin. It means you have Kadesh V'Yakiviyach, Yishma V'Hayom Shema, the two V'Horos are in the middle. And the Parshas and the Tzimah Shel Rosh do not appear in the Tzimah the same way they appear in the Chumash. In the Chumash, they go in order Kadesh V'Yakiviyach, Yishma V'Hayom Shema, a little bit of skipping in between. And then in the Tzimah Shel Rosh, it's not in that order. You have two compartments for the Tzimah Shel Rosh. When you write it, that's the Rabbi Natan admits. When you write the Parshiyos, you have to write them to Sidron, not in the order that they will appear in the Tzimah, but rather in the order that they appear in the original Chumash. In the Sefer Torah.
So it's Shal Yad, that's the problem. Shal Yad is made up in Shal Yad, and you have to leave
the
space with
the Hayom Shema. Then is the further question. This book that Shita Shabbat Natan, that you have to write, you have to write the Parshiyos in the order the way they appear in the Chumash. Kadesh first, then Hayor Kiviyacho, then Shema, and then Hayor Shema. But you put them in the bottom in a different order. You put Kadesh and Kiviyacho, and the one that's written third, Shema, you put in the fourth compartment, and the one that's written last, Hayor Shema, you put in the third compartment, going from the left to the right. So the question is, what does Rabbi Natan have to say about the Shoyah? So the Mordechai and Hilchot Tilling quote two versions of the Rabbi Natan. One opinion is that the Rabbi Natan's whole story, that you go backwards and forwards, you write it this one, you put it in that, but the whole story only goes to Shalosh. On the Shalyad, he's masking with Rashi. On the Shalyad, everything is written on one piece of parchment. You don't have four compartments with four separate pieces of parchment, and you write on each parsha on a different cloth. On the Shalyad, everything is written on one cloth, so you have to write everything in order, and everything that appears in the order, the way it's written in the Chumash. That's one version of the Rabbi Natan. And the other version of the Rabbi Natan is no, that the Shalyad, you also skip around backwards and forwards. You write first Kadesh, V'Yakiviyach, then you skip a big space, you write V'Yom Shemoah. Then you write in the missing space, you write Shema.
You write Shema
at the end, then you write Hayom Shema on the missing space, right. In other words, the parshas will appear on your one cloth, Not in the order. The same order that they appear in the Shavuot, they will appear in the Shavuot. But they will be written in the order that they will appear in the Chumash.
How are the Shavuot going to make that? I mean, which
Shavuot? I think they do it both in Shavuot and Shavuot. I think they do it in Shavuot. And he had Kadesh v'yakiviyacho, and then Rashi says Shema, then Hayoyim Shema, and Rabbi Nathan says, no, Kadesh v'yakiviyacho, Hayoyim Shema, Shema. And the other Rishonim, the Raibin, the Shilush Rabbah, say, no, he starts in this direction. You have Kadesh v'yakiviyacho, and then some say Shema, Hayoyim Shema, and some say, no, Kadesh v'yakiviyacho, Hayoyim Shema, and Shema. L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch. Right. So the Rosh comments, the Rosh only quotes the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, there are two kinds of Tzur. Rashi is not the Rabbeinu Tam, so the Rosh recommends him, quoting Shulchan Aruch, that the proper thing is that everybody should put on two pairs of Tzur, both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. And then in Shulchan Aruch it says that the Yirei Shamayim, who is known as the Baal Medaktik Mitzvahs, everybody knows that his Mefusim is the Yirei Shamayim, should wear two pairs of Tzur. Otherwise people will laugh at him. Otherwise people will say that he's such a big tzaddik that he's going to fill in the Rashi and fill in the Rabbeinu Tam. Has to be machmir for the both opinions.
At the same time?
At the same time, right. The Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch write, you wear two shalyads at the same time. You have to put on Rashi. No, each one has its own ritual. You have a bias of Rashi, you put it on, and you put on the Rabbeinu Tam, right on top. The Gemara says in Brachos that the proper thing is that a person should wear his tefillin when he recites Kriyat Shema, when he davens Shema Nesh. No, so we do both at the same time. No, we don't do it. Nobody does it today. But the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch recommend that the proper thing to do is to read the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin at the same time while you say the Kriyat Shema and while you daven the Shema Nesh. If you put only, let's say, if you only read as the way that people do today, the only way Rashi is filled. And then after they finish davening Shema Nesh, so then they take off Rashi Tefillin and put on the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. No. Last time we voted like Rashi, voted like the Rabbeinu Tam, neither one of the others. This is a later day. Rosh was a Talmud of the Maharam Rittenberg. Maharam Rittenberg was a Nisholim, he was an AFC. So he tried to recommend all the time, we should try to do things for the AFC they call our sheep. Try to avoid Machlaikas. And still the time of the Maharam Rittenberg, it's not that everybody made Machlaikas, it's everybody followed whatever his sheep was. He passed him like this, that's the thing. And Maharam Rittenberg started a new thing. That's what the Mishkan of Yankov has in his tshuva. He has a long tshuva that the Eruv, that the different Eruvim that they had in Europe, he has a long tshuva there, where he discusses Eruvim in general, so he has in a footnote, this area, he says it's the Maharam Rittenberg, the Rebbe of the Rosh, was from the Hasidi Ashkenaz. And they introduced this new strain, this new theme in Halacha, that you should always try to be A.T. they call us. And that's in the Mishnah Berurah, you have it, all the time the Mishnah Berurah has all kinds of chumras, but he recommends you should do this in order to be A.T. that sheikh, and that's the A.T. that sheikh, he tries to get as many sheep as in as possible. Yeah, before then they didn't do like that.
You hold that one is not right, then we put it on the suit. Okay, we should discuss.
Right, but the Rosh comments, let it be a violation of our Toshis. If one says an Erevin, one says an Erevin, if you put on two Sholyat simultaneously, two Sholoshis, and you do it, the Shem Mitzvah, that it's a violation of our Toshis, like if you take a Tula Robin to a Sorobin or something. So the Rosh says, you know, here there's no violation of our Toshis, because one of them is possible. According to Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam Sholyad is possible. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashi is full in his song. So the Maitre, you're only wearing one pair of tzum. So the Maitre Shalcha Shalcha.
When people
think of Rabbeinu Tam, so they put the Shema over again. The minute is that they say the Shema over again. Strictly speaking, there is no din in Hilchot Tzilin, that in order to be able to minister Tzilin, let's say on Tisha B'Av, when we don't wear Tzilin in the morning, we're praying in the afternoon. So the din, strictly speaking, is you don't have to say Shema, you don't have to say the parashas later on. There's a minhag that people have, the Shulchan Aruch calls that minhag, but people have a minhag to recite the parashas when they wear it from. But it's not strictly speaking, it's not a real din. That's why the Mishnah Berurah comments in Hilchot Tisha B'Av that it's not proper. He says that since on Tisha B'Av the din is that you're not permitted to learn Torah, and the only Torah you're allowed to learn is Seder Hayoyim, because that person took Seder. And all the Rachman Aruch, one is enough Eilis, is not permitted to learn Torah because Torah is very cheerful. People go to the shul, they get a little excited, they go to the shul, right. So the Gemara says, based on the post, Kuli Hashem is showing the Sam Chaylani, that when people learn Torah, it cheers them up a lot. So that's why Rahman al-Aslam, one is in Havelet of Shiva, he's supposed to be serious, so he's not permitted to learn Torah, and Tisha B'Av has the same din as Shiva. But then the Gemara says, in the post, we say, Allah is Shulchan Aruch, say he's going to daven, he's going to say Tzukir Zimra. Tzukir Zimra is in Tehillah. He's going to get all excited about the Tzukir Zimra. Oh, Sam Chaylani, he's going to say Kriya Shema. Or he's going to hear Kriya Shema. So that's not the Sam Chaylani, he doesn't get so excited. He hears that he says Kriya Shema every day, and he says Tzukir Zimra every day. He doesn't get excited in the sense that it's in Sameya, because he knows what it says. In the Kriya Shema, he knows also what it says in the Kriya Shema. Every week he hears Kriya Shema. So whatever it's Sayyidah Yoyim, he doesn't get excited about. Whatever is not Sayyidah Yoyim, whatever he doesn't do every day, whatever is not part of his daily routine, that's considered Nisam Chaylai. So that's why the Mishnah Brura says that sometimes Tisha B'Av, we don't wear the tefillin to Shacharit, you put on tefillin to Mincha. In the Ikar Adin, it's not really required, it's not really absolutely necessary that you should recite the Parashas of Shema V'Hayam Shmaya while wearing the tefillin. The Gemara says, the proper Kabbalah from Alpha Shemayim is that the person should have the tefillin on at the time that he's reciting Kriya Shema and at the time that he's davening Shema Nesh. But if he's ready davening Shema Nesh, he's ready to say Kriya Shema davening Shema Nesh in the morning, he's ready davening Shacharit, then he gets the tefillin later. So in the Ikar Adin, there's no reason why he has to recite Kriya Shema. It's just a minute that he recited, but in the Ikar Adin, you don't have to do it. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, you don't have the heter that's Sayyidah Yom. Sayyidah Yom means whatever is normal of it. Say every day, like you're supposed to say, so you say it on Tisha B'Av also, it's not Nisam Chalei. But since you don't really have to say the Shema, when you wear the tefillin Tisha B'Av afternoon, so he says it's proper not to say it. It's really material, that's really unnecessary on Tisha. That's his point.
I was thinking of the story you once told us about Akasha,
I'll tell you whatever arrangement you put in is good. And the Gemara says it's only possible with the Rabbana. No, but it is possible with the Rabbana. The Gemara says it is possible with the Rabbana. But therefore the Rosh says, even if the Kasha were right, even if it were right, that the both Kasha and Atera, but still the Mice says, one of them is Kasha, one of them is possible with the Rabbana. When the person wears the Tushal Yad and the Tushal Rosh, he has in mind only to be right in the midst of either one or the other, whichever one is the Kasha or one with the Rabbana. So the Maitre, the Shulchan Aruch says like this, that a Yireish HaMayim should be able to obey both Shittas, and he should really wear both the Tzvim and the Rasha and the Tzvim and the Rabbin Atam. I happen to put it both to the Rizm to Rabbin, so the Gemara says, Mokhan Yesh Barosh, Lam Yesh Shaitzum, and Mokhan Yesh Bayad, Lam Yesh Shaitzum. The Gemara says, the Rizm are Tzvim both on the arm, and on the head to put two Tzvim. That's because it's kind of, it should depend how big the Tzvim are. If you have gigantic Tzvim, so there won't be enough room. So what's too big and what's too small? The patient gives a shiur later on. What's the minimum size the tefillin should be and how much room you can have? Let's say our tefillin are pretty big. Generally speaking, most of the tefillin people wear today are much bigger than what they say, so there really wouldn't be any room to put two pairs of tefillin. Patient says the shiur is 2x both. 2x both means the thickness of two, the whole bottom of the, and let's say you have a bayish al yad. You have the bottom base and then you have the bayish that sticks up in the middle. So Tosi says the whole base from one end to the other, the shear is 2 inches, 2 inches. Like the tiny film that they have today, the tinier film.
The cheap.
Yes. And that was normal size film in the Talmud of the Talmud. So you have, if you have one pair of film and has 2 inches, the other pair has 2 inches, so the Tosi says that's the shocking of there is room on the shayosh to put film, there's 4 inches worth of room. One next to the other puts them. If this person has, some people in Europe made gigantic tefillin where the one pair of tefillin was bigger than 4 inches. Then places to say there's not enough room to wear the one shalosh.
There's one behind each other, right?
One behind or one next to each other. Also good. One next to the other also. If there's more, you can put one next to the other.
Or
more mocked than writing too? I don't know. So here's the question, why does the Shulchan Aruch only recommend to the Machmir to wear 2 pairs of tefillin, why don't we wear all 4 pairs of tefillin? That's the question. Yeah. There's the famous sense in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, they quote in the tradition of Rav Chaim Alashar, that he said, what if you take tefillin de Rashi and you put it on backwards? Right, look, we have tefillin, so we have the kesher in the back, and then we have the two of on the side, and then we have the bias is hanging down in the front, and you have the back of the bias has the tzuva go through. Let that person replace the cash in the back and the tzuva going around, and instead of having the bias down this way, you have the bias going backwards. Either the tzuva goes in the front like this, And the bias is all over here behind the rishon. He says, the whole religion, would it be yotze b'di evan? So he said, it doesn't say the sefer one way or the other. Whether you're yotze or not. So I'm kind of assuming that you are yotze. There's nothing to say. There's a din what the bias al rosh has to look like. There's a din what the bias al yad has to look like. There's a din what the kesh has to look like. You have to have it too, and have to go through it. If it doesn't say it has to be that way, it can be this way too. So I'm kind of saying, when you wear the tomb, the rashi and the rabbi and the tam, so you have all four pages there. So you're wearing the writers in the shemush of rabbi. Exactly. So you say, you're of course, supposed to be able to film the proper way, you have to get sticking forward. But we're not really interested in being able to l'chatchila the right in the Shemusha Rabbe. We just want to know, maybe they're right, maybe there's a slim chance that the other opinions are right, are we at least able to be 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 certainly able to be. The film that we wear, is the film the right of the Shemusha Rabbe? Just that we have it backwards, so that's the able to be able. That's all. We mentioned the Aruch HaShulchan about how the Tzilin Rabbeinu Tam kept in some days. It's interesting, he quotes the Zohar. That Ba'olam HaZeh, the Tzilin concludes with the fourth parsha. He says the Tzilin concludes with the fourth parsha of Ha'yoh, Yim Shamoa, which mentions that the Jews don't observe the Mitzvah HaTzeh there, and Avadot HaNeher Ni'alavot HaTzeh, that Hashem will send us into Golos and will suffer there and go. And then the Zohar says in one place like Tzilin Rashi, then another place the Zohar says, that's only Ba'olam HaZeh. That the Tzilin, if it ends like that, and you end up on such a sour note, the Parsha is the Yor, the fourth Parsha is a Parsha full of demons, full of punishment about the Jews going into Golos. What's the other? The Mashiach cycle will be there, but then there won't be any more Golos soon, and the Jews will live in Eretz, no more suffering and so on. Then the Isaiah seems to say that the Tzilin will no longer conclude with the Parsha of demons, of punishment. The Tzilin will conclude with Shema. The fourth Parsha will be the Shema, it will end on a very happy note. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes as if the Rabbi Natan introduced his tefillin at that period of history because he saw that that was the beginning of the tekufa of Bias HaMashiach. If he saw that it's time to change the fate of the parsha. Maybe that's Pshat in the Zohar, but it's very unclear that that's Pshat in the Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan doesn't have any Zohar. So Ramban quotes Zohar. Rabbi Natan didn't have any Zohar. The Zohar didn't reach Europe till later. Anyway, that's a strange comment that the Aruch HaShulchan has on Hilchot.
Why is it that the Zohar doesn't have any Zohar?
Apparently he was in Eretz Yisrael the whole time. And then they brought it to Europe later. We don't know. I don't know. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav. Rav Chananel has a comment in the name of Rav. He quoted many demons. The Gemara had many demons in the name of Rav. Rav Chananel quoted Rav. Tilchot Tzilin. He quotes another din. Hekla Parshia Sehel Tzulot. What if you reverse the order of the Parshia so the Tzilin is not kosher? That's why it's such a big tater. But if it's from the Rashi, it's from the Rav in the town, because the Gemara says if you put them in the wrong order, so it's not kosher. So Amar Abaye originally thought, Lo Amar Anelo, the only time we apply this klal of Rav, that if you reverse the order of the parshas, it's going to not kosher, that's only if you reverse it in such a way, Gad Yaisa, Libar Yaisa, Gad Yaisa means the inside parshas. Let's say, let's talk in the sense of Rashi. How do we have? We have Kadesh, Vayoki, Viyacha, Shema, Vayam, Shema. So if you put Kadesh Vayikir Yach in the reverse sense. So you fill and begin on this side with the Hayor Kir Yacho, then you have Kadesh. On this side, instead of having Shema, the Hayor Mishanoah, you have, like the Rabbeinu Tam says, he's supposed to have, you have Shema on the outside, the Hayor Mishanoah, in the second compartment from the right. So he says, if you reverse Gav Yaisa, the Bar Yaisa, the inside parasha with the outside, or Bar Yaisa, the Gav Yaisa, the outside with the inside, then it's possible. Abor, what if you reverse the two inside parashias? Instead of having the Hayor Kir Yacho next on Shema, you have Shema, the second parsha, and then the Hayor Kir Yacho is the third. So then, all of the reverse of Yaisa, with Bar Yaisa, you have the Hayor and Shema here, and you have Kadesh over there. He says, that's okay. Late from both, this doesn't bother us, because the outside parshas are on the outside, the inside parshas are on the inside. Amalei Rabbah, the Rabbah who is a contemporary of Abaye, tells Abaye, it doesn't make any sense. Maishma Gav Yaisa, the Bar Yaisa, Bar Yaisa, the Gav Yaisa, the low. Why are you distinguishing? You say that if you switch the outside to the inside, you start asking, it's no good. Why? The half, the boy, the half, that parsha, the boy which is supposed to lamech the avira, that parsha is supposed to be seeing the outside, it's not seeing the outside, it's on the inside. Lo kachadiyot, it's not on the outside. No, the local boy lamech the avira on the one, it's not supposed to be on the outside. Avira means the air on the outside of the skin. The Gemara has a lashon in Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin, that they said, Ba'is Chis and Shein Averis HaAvira Tzula. That's why they're using that term. That was an old halakha mashmashina that they had. If you have a third tefillin, and sometimes you have like this. Let's say a person takes a lulav, an esrik, a dasim, and a rovis, and then he takes a couple of rovis also, along with that. So he has definitely violated the Easter of Balthosis. You're not allowed to add on to the mitzvah, but that's what he's not. It's a violation of Balthosis. The question is, just because he has violated the Alphaesis, so does that imply that he's not great to be a Yezid? But he said, no, he has the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, and in addition to adding the mitzvah, he has violated Aver, Kalkorosis. So the Gemara says that it depends. It depends whether you put the, whether you stuck the roses or the lilacs, whatever, did you put them into the kesher? One time it says, the Machlokes HaTanan, the rule of Sereheged, or rule of Ben Sereheged. That practice is that we tie up the rulers, the Hadassim, and the Aros. Actually, you don't tie up together. Nobody says you have to tie up together. One place in Sukkot says that according to the Tanah Habira, the little Sarkad, you have to tie up the etches also. But all the other Rishonim say it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether it's only a Dir L'Chatchila as a Hidur Mitzvah that you tie up the rule of the Hadassah and Arav, but to receive the Yakad Rei Yezed, the Gemara says the Pharisee is only an argument within the rule of the Hadassah and Arav. The etches is certainly held separate. On the other hand, you don't hold it against it. You don't have to tie up. So the Gemara has this argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim, that you say rule of Sarkad again, in order to be able to the Mitzvah rule of, you have to. You have to have the rule of the Hadassah and Arabic must be tied together in a knot. But he's saying that was just for Hatzchila, the Hidden Mitzvah, to have them tied together. But the Yevet, rule of Emes Ochag, the Yevet Mitzvah was added. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin like this. Sanhedrin, it took also the Gemara says, if you think that rule of Ochag is, then rule of with the Hadassah and Arabic must be tied together. So then there is something that's connecting these three together, the rule of the Hadassah and Arabic. Then, if I put in some other minion, like I put in another branch or some other flowers inside the Yevet, then I say, not only have I violated Balkosis, I have ruined the whole mitzvah. I'm not even going to the mitzvah at all, because the mitzvah requires an eged, it should be tied up. That's called the Chetzeshon mitzvah, the rule of Hadassah and Arabah tied up together. If something tied in, then it's not the right thing. That's not the right person. But if you say the rule of Enes Arach again, right. But if you say rule of Enes Arach again, the rule does not have to be tied up with the Hadassah and Arabah. So even though we do tie it up with Hatchila, but that's just the Chatzchila Mishum Hidden Mitzvah, the Gemara says. That came again very ill. It's not the fun of the mitzvah. It looks nicer and neater if you have everything tied up together. The Hadassah and Arabah together with the rule. But then the other, it wouldn't be the Yakeh. So then the Gemara says, if you take the extra minion and you hold them in your hand outside of the Yaget, or even if you put them in the Yaget, but the Yaget doesn't mean anything. The Yaget doesn't really measure into a unit. So then it's the same. The rule is the same rule. The Hadassah are the same Hadassah and the Arabah are the same. Oh, you have another min stuck in, and you have violated Baal Taisis. So you didn't have the Arabah first, but you still have the mitzvah of the Tilak Lula with the Dalai Minim at the same time. So the Imam says, what's the story regarding Tilak? What if a person has a Aisha Rosh, and then in addition, he likes Aseret Adib. He likes Bereshit Solomon. He likes another passage. So in addition to the four parshas, Kadesh, Reziriach, Shmabah, Yom Shmur, which have to be put into the tomb, he writes himself a fifth parsha, and he sticks it in there somewhere. So the Imam says, he clearly violates the Aseret of Baltos, because he has added on another parsha which doesn't belong. However, the Gemara raises the question, do you say that he's not even yet to the mitzvah of Tzilin at all? But he says, no, he's yet to the mitzvah of Tzilin, and at the same time he has another Erech Baltosis, because we have cases. Sometimes the Baltosis ruins the whole mitzvah, and sometimes I say, I violated Baltosis, and at the same time I have been the kind of mitzvah simultaneously. So the Gemara says that over here, if you add on another parsha, if you add a parsha in the inside of the chain, so then the Gemara says it's certainly fine, because it doesn't belong. What if you have your whole Baisha Rosh, kosher of 8 cents, and then you add on another parsha and you tape it on and glue it on the outside. So the Gemara says, you may start off with a kosher teretzum, and you add another parsha later, so one might have thought that you go to the mitzvah, and you have a violation of Baltosis. So the Gemara says, no, you are not going to the mitzvah at all, because bayis chitzon, shein erodes avir, it's tzuma. Whatever parsha is supposed to be on the outside of the tzum, and it's supposed to see the outside air over there. It's supposed to see the fresh air on the left side and on the right side, whatever it is. And if you put your parsha about teretz adibur, of the Rosh Hashanah team, or whatever your Bar Mitzvah said, and whatever you decide you want to put into your additional service parsha in your tefillin, so then whatever parsha is supposed to be Roa Esoavir is not going to be Roa Esoavir. So that's the phrase that Rav is using over here. That was an old term that they had. At the time there must have been a halacha Moshe Mitzvah, but they had a tradition on.
So that proves the destiny to Rashi Rabbeinu
Tam, one of the Tzadikim. I'll be past one could argue and say, no, as long as you have four parshas, Rabbi Kasha holds, as long as you have four parshas, the proper four parshas in the tefillin, whichever one you have on the outside is your... Well, this is what I say, for sure it's possible. One question is whether it's possible in Atara, possible in the Rabbanah. That Gemara from Edmund says it's possible in Atara, that's a clear Gemara, it's possible in Atara. That's because you have an extra parsha that doesn't belong at all. Rabbi Kasha Tainus, if you rearrange the four parshas that do belong, the equalism in Atara is the tefillin. Our question is, hold the money, don't let me get up, Rabbanah. And that's why Shaykh had an argument between the Rashi and the Rabbanah Tam, because in Atara, any order was really Kasha. And there must have been two traditions prior to the Rashi and Rabbeinu. There must have been two different traditions. So now Rav is using this phrase, this term, this technical term, which is found in the other Gemara, But the Bayis Achitzon, the outside Parsha Shein, Arei Etzavir, which isn't facing the outside air, it's not open to the outside, the whole Tzilun is possible. So he says, Maishna, why do you only pass if you reverse the inside with the outside Parsha? Why? Because whatever is supposed to be Arei Etzavir is not. Whatever is not supposed to be Arei Etzavir is, the sign is, it should be the same over here. If you interchange the two inside parshas, so you switch the two outside parshas, one with the other, same thing. The one that's supposed to be on the right side, is on the wrong side. The one that's supposed to be the small, hello, he claims Loshma. Doesn't make any difference. The parshas must be in a proper order, whatever shino you have, the whole sermon is no good. Possibly the other. So that's the shadow of this din of Rav and Rabbi, the Rav, that if the Mishana, the Seder of the four parshas, that they mean to say that this is a real Psul there. I said that this is only a Psul the Rabban. Even if it's a Psul, only a Psul the Rabban, like the Kasha claims in the Sarah Shlema, it certainly is rooted in the din there. I said, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that if you add on a fifth parsha that absolutely doesn't belong at all, not one of the four parshas, and you add that on, then it was definitely Psul in a Torah. That's the original din of Bayis Chis and Shein Raya Zavir. Here's the question whether this extension is also a Din Yoraita or merely a Din Rabban. That's what Rabbi Kasha asked, how could it be? So he suggests that there must have been all along two traditions. It's true, he thinks that Rabbi Natan quotes the Rabbi Haiga and Mishimusha Rabbi, the world we've shown him prior to the Rabbi Natan had the other kinds of tzul. The question is, where do they come from? If everybody was always wearing Rashi and the Rambam tzul, the Rambam tzul is the same as Rashi. If Rashi and the Rambam still were worn by anybody, what's going on over there? So finally there were two traditions from a long time back. They claim that there always were different traditions. Because how can it be different traditions? Is it half of the people or 75% of the people? There were four traditions. Four traditions of Tzilin. So 75% of the people are wearing Parsha Tzilin. He says, no, Minatera, he claims all the forms are Parsha. And he gave the mashal from Tzvi Shofar. The Gemara says regarding Tzvi Shofar that Rabbi Adohu who made a takonim in the city of Kesaria, he's living in Kesaria, I said, and it's a kind of that, since there is a topic, exactly how to make the tkiyas, we know that the din is yet a tkiya, true a tkiya, three times. However, we don't know exactly what the word teruah means. When the Chumash speaks of teruah, the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba says he's not sure what it means, what we call teruah, like that, or like others do a different wailing teruah, or whether teruah means shvarim, teruah, or whether the word teruah in the Chumash means shvarim teruah. The Gemara says, for sure it doesn't mean true Shvarim, because that's not the way people cry. And the word true in the Chumash means, Yom Yabav Yehelechon. It has to be some form of crying. Either crying or wailing or sobbing or something. So there are three different forms of crying. Tu-tu-tu-tu is one form of crying, and Tu-tu-tu-tu is groaning and moaning. And then the other one, the Shvarim true is the third form of crying. And the other form doesn't exist. So because there is a topic, what the proper form of true is, that's why Rabbi Abba made a takkanah that everybody should be yaitin. And it's a takkanah that you should blow three times tkiya shvayim tkiya, and then three times tkiya shvayim tkiya, and three times tkiya shvayim shvayim tkiya. So the Rishonim quote in the name of the Gaon, in the name of the Rabbi Gaon, how can it be such a stokeh? Every year the Jews lose shoshvayim. From the days of Maimon Hasina, from the days of Matan Torah, from the days of the Gemara. How could they have forgotten what the proper form, the completely different forms of tkiya? Whether it's a true or a shvayim or a shvayim true. Nobody remembers what the proper form of tkiya shvayim is. So the Rabbi Gaon suggests that Minatora really all the forms of this. If the Torah says Yom Shua Yelachem, you have to blow shofar like a person cries, but some people cry like that, and others like that, and others like that. So all three forms are down. So the Maaseh the Gaon suggests, Rabbi Gaon suggests that in the times of the Talmud there were communities that blew Tashrat. There were communities that blew shofar, Kiyah, Tarat. There were other communities that blew Tashrat, Kiyah, Shron, Kiyah. Rabbi Abba felt bad, that every Tehillah felt that we're the only ones that are yet in the midst of Tafli, and the other guys are doing it all wrong. So Rabbi Abba wanted to make it uniform, that everybody should hope for everybody else, that they shouldn't thank the other guys, that the other Tehillah is not being yet, that we're the only authentic Jews, we're the only Orthodox Jews in the whole world. But he made it takkanah, really meant that everybody did everything, but the Palabasim didn't understand, they thought that there's a potato, has to be something, has to be a takkanah. Everybody should blow all the three forms of Shua, so everybody will know that everybody was yet, so there won't be any spaces of that. Rabbi Kasha suggests that this must be the same explanation over here. How could it be that there were different traditions? How you wear the tefillin? Everybody wore tefillin from the days of Matan Torah. They were all wearing tefillin. All the kids get the garments. Everybody wears tefillin. How can it be they forgot what the state of our parashas is? But that's his suggestion in the Torah Shlomo. The Rabbi Kamin HaTorah must be that you just need four parashas. The Kaddish, the Tiviyach, the Shema, the Shema. And what arrangement you put them in doesn't really matter. And the psul that the Gemara has is Sanhedrin and Daf Peichet. Why speaks in Shani Arikav is psula, that only means if you put a fifth parsha in, it doesn't belong. Then it's really psula. But if you rearrange these four parshas any way you want, everything goes. Now, but the Gemara didn't want to have different forms of tefillin. He's going to hold that he's Yosef, the other one is not Yosef, and they're going to hold their Yosef, he's not Yosef. So the Gemara fixed it once and forever. The Gemara quotes that Brisa, the Tanai, made a Takana, Kesa, Sitron, Avkasha suggested the Takana, the Rabbanon, what the proper word it should be, like so. So then the Gemara is unclear, what was the Takana that they made to make sure? What is it like this? So they have four versions of what the Takana was. They have more possibilities, you know? They're not, they're more than four possible logical
possibilities. Same question
just
the end of the
Abba Moshe
Mishnah. How can we forget? How
do we
change? Once the
Takana
was made,
the children
should have been made that way.
Because the Takana wasn't in Kashtar. Those units, when they did the other way, so they didn't accept. What do you mean? We're going to listen to these conservative guys. We're the only Orthodox Jews in the world. We're going to continue with the proper way. So the nicer, all of, they suggest the nicer, all the ways are kosher to wear four men after. But the Abba Moshe wanted to unify, wanted to make one single way.
Deviating any shape, form,
manner. Possible. Right, right. So that is the din. The other question is that possible in our favor? Or is that possible in the Rabban? So the simple shot in the mark is possible in our favor. That's the simple reading of the mark. So Rabbi Kashi suggests that how can it be? So how could there have been different traditions? So he suggests shot, maybe it's only possible in the Rabban, because they wanted to standardize everything, that there should be Shalom al Yisrael. But really, they're not there all the forms of all the arrangements, any arrangements of the two in this kasha. And that's where the four different practices came from. And then I tell you they were all
kosher.
Right, that's the sign, it can be. He claims that it didn't start one day. It started with half people, everybody needs to go over there. We make any arrangement you want.
You want to use the rashi,
so
you come to a place, you don't have
to use somebody else in the council. Yeah. You'll have to put them on the use. No, Halakha Lamaik is possible. Whether it's possible in our prayer or possible in our
prayer. You just can't keep saying that prayer was okay.
He says, when I tell you it's good, but when the Rabbanan they declared it is wrong. So you cannot use that too? Even if you don't have any other, you cannot. If that's the only one you're asking for.
You
don't ask for that. You put it on the side of Bracha, right. You put it on the side of Bracha. We wouldn't say Bracha until the Rabbanan is wrong. It's possible at least, is it Rabbanan? Right. Then the more continues having additional demon regarding too, and also Rakhanan quotes in the name of Rav. Ziyama Rakhanan on Rav. He says that Ziyama means, Rav means, he said another din in the name of Rav regarding his tefillin. Tikur the tefillin, a little further up, by the letter Aleph. Tikur the tefillin, halacha Moshe Mishnah. The din is that you have the, let's say the Bayis Shalosh, so you have four compartments, and then you stuff in the four parshiyos, each parshiyah into one compartment, and then it's open on the bottom. So let's say you have stuffed in the parshiyah so tightly, it is a very tight squeeze, so there are no parts, they're not going to fall out anyway. So is it permissible to put on the shalosh? For the shalyat, it's not a rest. The shalyat probably can fall out if you have nothing on the bottom. Let's say the shalosh, each parish is rolled up and it's squeezed in very tightly into its skinny compartment. So if you don't have shalosh, it's going to fall out, do you have to have something on the bottom or not? So he says, yes, you must have on the bottom, even if you're not worried that the parishes are going to fall out. Titura, this film, titura means the cover on the bottom, is halacha Moshe Mishnah. Although it's not written in the Chumash, we have an oral tradition, many halacha Moshe Mishnah are in Hilchot Tzvi. You don't have so many halachot Moshe Mishnah other than in Sukkah you have a few. In Sukkah you have a lot of halachot Moshe Mishnah. But in most other mitzvahs you don't have, everything is written in Chumash and learned out from Sukkah. Halachot Moshe Mishnah is a technical term that means it's a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan, it's a din d'oraisa, which cannot be derived in any way at all from the Chumash. If you have a klala without the klala, you have a ribu in the ribu, you have an extra vav or an extra hay or an es or any kind of a drasha, that's not called halachot Moshe Mishnah. That means that it's learned out from the Chumash. If you have a din that has, that is a din d'oraisa, it's on the level of a din in a Torah, a biblical din that has absolutely no source at all in the written Chumash, that's what the Gemara refers to as halacha Moshe Mishnah. So the Gemara here by Tfilim has more halacha Moshe Mishnah than another mitzvah. The Sukkah, I think, is the runner-up. The other mitzvahs don't have so many halacha Moshe Mishnah. They're all learned out from the Sukkah, but it has to be. So the Gemara says, the Tikkur of the Tfilim, halacha Moshe Mishnah. There's no problem. Then Rabbi says, on Rabbi, Mabat of the Tfilim. Halacha Moshe Mishnah. Mabat means you have a Bayis Shalyar or Bayis Shalosh, and then the Bayis extends in the back, and then the parchment, and then the leather goes under to cover up the bottom. So the Bayis has to extend if you have your square. You already have a full square in the front, then you have a little bit cut out, and then it goes out again, and it goes back for a half an inch, for 3/4 of an inch or so. So where the Ritzur goes through. So that's what the Gemara calls the Ma'abaiton. Ma'abaiton means where the Ritzur can pass through from one side to the other, the passageway. Rabbi says that is all for halacha Moshe Mishnah, that you must have a marbar. You have to have a marbar in order to have the ritzur go through. It's interesting to note that Rashi and Tosafot both have the same expression over here. Mabarta means the passageway where the Ritzua can go through easily. Moshe L'chol Tatsha Yusi, you have to be able to pull the Ritzua to the right or to the left. There were different ways of making the Keshe on Mishal Yad. So there's a Chofetz Chaim Keshe. Chofetz Chaim has his own way to make a Keshe. And others have different kinds of Kshorim. So some of the Kshorim, the Chofetz Chaim and others, have it in such a way that you cannot budge the Ritzua, you cannot move it through. Unless you can untie the whole Keshe.
You can't move the
Ritzua. You cannot move the Ritzua through. Right. The Keshe is in such a way that it's stuck on the right side or on the left side, you can't budge. It cannot move. So the Rashi and the Tosafot both seem to say over here that the Mabarta Halacha Moshe Mitzvah means number one, there should be a passageway, and number two, it should be loose in such a way you should be able to move it through. The cash of Shayat should be touching the body. Right. That's from the Zohar. That's not from anymore. The Zohar says that you should have the Keshe Shayat should be leaning on the bike, should be touching the bike. So Salamaka, they tie it on with a string, with a... Right, so that's a shayla, it's kosher. Some parts of that the whole ceiling is supposed to them, because the Rashi and the Tosafot say over here, that Mabarta, Allah Lachom Meshim Lefina means you should be able to move through, and the kosher shayla that applies both to Shayat and to Shalosh. That's the Pashto from the Gemara. Years ago, originally, people were mocked to have it said in the Shulchan Aruch, and the name of the Zohar, that the Keshe Shayad should be touching the bayit. So which part of the bayit does it have to touch? So you have the bottom part of the bayit is what the Gemara basically calls the tikkur, the base, the bottom, and then the base of the tikkur. And then you have the bayit that goes up to the tikkur. So the bayit sticks up over here. So the Keshe shall fill up the Shayad, I'm right, I have my Keshe on this side. So the Keshe has to be touching what? Which part of the bayit? So years ago, it used to touch the bottom. These are the people, let's say, 100 years ago, normal people, before they started with the chumash. So they used to have the keshe shel tefillin, they used to touch the bottom of the bayit on the side. And then the Abinezer, the Tzav HaTzorah writes in his Tzuras, Chadash and Yikarako, his new Meshigoy, he started to make a whole new thing, and they tell him, no, if it says in Zohar, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, that the keshe shel yad has to touch the bayit, so they tell him, that's not the bayit, that's the base of the tefillin, that's the tikkura. This is the matar, so that's the tikkura. The bayit means this part, so that's why the matzid, to have to twist the Keshe Shel Yad, they should not be touching this, they should lean in and be touching the actual bias that sticks up. So the Abinezer has a whole attack against this. He says that it's not right, that it's good the way it used to be and there's nothing wrong. But the bottom of the film is also part of the bias. When the Zohar says that the Keshe has to be touching the bias, it means the bottom part. Doesn't mean you should twist it up that it should be touching the top. But that's the way they make the film. Everybody makes it like that now. It's not a film, but it says it's not necessary to be mocked like that. The Yomar Abai Bai has another thing. Shin shall fill in halacha l'moshe nisina. Halacha l'moshe nisina insists that you must have a shin. So he says, where's the shin? This Gemara only goes on the Shalosh. The previous Gemara seems to be referring both to Shayad and to Shalosh. But you need a tikkur and a mabart. But on this Gemara that you need a shin, so he tells Ashtel over here and says, this Gemara only goes on the Shalosh, and the Shayad they don't make a shin. And the Dina the Gemara only speaks of one shin, the Gemara doesn't speak of two. That's the Tosafot quotes, cross of the shin Moshe Rabba. The second verse of the table starts with the word shin. It's called cross of the shin. Mishayabah, no, you should have two shins. One on the left side, one on the right side. We spoke about it. One shin should have four heads, one shin should have three heads. And what the shin with the four heads represents, the big machlokes is upon it. That's the Gemara, that the Bayi Shalosh must have a shin on it. The Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Chav Ches, on the right-hand side of the Daf, in the Masoret HaShas, they refer you to Shabbos Daf Chav Ches, where this is quoted also. This member of Abai Shalosh. The Gemara there in Shabbos, stresses that you shouldn't think that this is just a shape that the leather should be in on the outside of the Bayi Shalosh. The shin is considered an oath. It's considered a Kusha Ksav. That's what the Parshas have Ksav written. The Parshas have Ksav black ink on top of the white Parsha. Here you don't have any black on top of white. You don't have white on top of black. You have black on black. You can't really see.
But it says that the Shalosh has a higher Kedusha than Shalosh.
Right. Shalosh has a higher Kedusha because it has the shin. Right. What is the shin? So the Gemara says there in Shabbos Daf Chav Ches, the shin has a kedusha staff to it. It's considered an oath of the shin. It's not some mutton, not some folds in the leather that are in the shape of the shin. It is considered a shin because the Gemara there mentions that we have two dinim. We have two halachas learned out in two different places. One is the pasuk in the chumash and one is the halacha in the shina. The pasuk says in the chumash, "Leman tiyeh torah Hashem l'sichon." that the Torah, the Akadosh Baruch Hu, should be in our mouth. How can the Torah be in our mouth? What kind of a lesson is that? I mean, we should know the Torah, should be able to talk and learn, kosher shot. If there's more darshan, no. The Torah should be kosher. Shouldn't be traced. If it's traced, you can't put it in your mouth. Should be in the amut of the sikha. When the Torah has to be kosher, Torah shouldn't be traced to Torah. The Gemara says you have to write that the Torah is still in the mezuzah on parchment that comes from a kosher animal. If you take parchment from a lion, from a tiger, from a non-kosher animal, from a pig, whatever, they may not write that the Torah is still in the mezuzah on that. Maybe you take parchment from a kosher animal that didn't have a proper sheep, that didn't have broyish sheep, that didn't have a lot of kosher tongue. The Gemara says that's okay. If it's mezuzah to trace it from a kosher min, it's okay. But if from the min comes there, then the Gemara says that it's no good. And this is derived in this parchment, l'man tiyah, Torah Hashem, this sikha, that the Torah should be, the sikha should be minamut of the sikha. It should be kosher, you should be able to put it in your mouth. So the Gemara says, however, that this pasuk only refers to a case where you're writing Divrei Torah. I'm writing, say, the Torah is in the Zuzah. When you have Torah Hashem, you have Kedusha Tzav. And the Gemara says it also applies to the Batim Shalosh because you have the Shin, and the Shin has the Kedusha Tzav, and it's called Torah Hashem. It's part of the Torah. Oh, so then the Gemara says, what about the Ritzuah? The Ritzuahs don't have any atheists on them, there's no Ksav on them at all.
Shaliyat.
Huh? What, the Shaliyat? Rabbi Kivega says the Shaliyat also. Rabbi Kivega there on Shabbos, Abchav Chesem, the Shaliyat he says. Or the Ritzuahs, both of Shaliyat of Shalosh, have no atheists on them at all. So the Gemara says, should I be permitted to use leather from a non-kosher animal to make Ritzuahs, or to make a Shaliyat? So the Gemara says, as far as the Pasuk is concerned, it would be okay. This Pasuk will not see it, Torah Hashem Yisicho. Doesn't speak about Yisicho, Abai Shaliyad, because there's no Torah Hashem. But we have another thing, which is known only through Allah HaMashim Yisina, not Allah HaMashim Yisina, that Lai'huch Shul, the Malach HaShemayim, are all behind the Torah Bovad. You can only use for Malach HaShemayim, for all in Yoni Kedusha and Mitzvah, only things that come from kosher animals. You can't use anything that comes from a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara stresses that there is a difference between the shin and the shalosh is a real kedusha ksav. It's considered one of the yotzeis of the first color, even though it doesn't really represent any shin in the first color. What shin is it? The shin of Bereshit? Shin of Leini Kol Yisrael? What shin is it? We don't know. It's not any shin, specific shin from the first color. Still the Gemara says that shin and the two shins on the Bai Shalosh are considered Torah Hashem. It's considered that it has kedusha ksav. Now Shem came the Bai Shalyad and the two don't have any atheists on them at all. So there, it's just an issue that you cannot use or the in the Tereya from the Lech HaShemayim. The Ritzuah should be allowed to be switched? I don't know, because the Ritzuahs have a double, the Ritzuahs of the Tereya have a double Kedusha. Number one, it's Tashmishi Yitzra, that it's Mishamish the Shalosh, Mishamish the Shoyan. It's Mishamis of Parashit. And number two, it's called Etzim Abdusha, that it's not Mishpal, it's Shalosh and Parashit Shalyan. That's why Abchaim points out in the Sefer, explains the whole Gemara like that. That the Ritz really have a double Kedusha. It's both Etzim Abdusha and Tashmish Abdusha. So as Etzim Abdusha, the whole Shalosh is in a higher level than the whole Shalyan. Sefer has the famous Kasha and that Gemara in Shabbat of Chokheh. What do you mean? The Gemara is going to say a little later over here that the Kesha shall fill in. It's Halakha Moshe Mishina. Gemara says later that Kesher Shalom, another day, he not says Kesher Shalom. It's a halakha motion similar, but you must have a Kesher Shalom, you must have a Kesher Shalom. The Rashi comments on that Gemara, what do you mean Kesher Shalom, halakha motion similar? That the Kesher Shalom should be in the shape of the youth, and Kesher Shalom must be in the shape of the Dalit. And Rashi says that that is all halakha motion similar. The place that says Sakasha and Rashi, if the Shin Shalom on the Bai Shalom is halakha motion similar. And therefore, you say you may not use leather from a non-kosher animal for a Bai Shalosh, because it's Torah Hashem, it's Kedusha Ksav, the Shin is a Kedusha Ksav. So the Dalad Niyur, and Rashi claims the Shin, the Dalad Niyur all combined together to make the Shem Hashem of Shin Dalad Yud. It's one of the seven Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud. So the Shin is called the Kedusha Ksav. And you have the Pasuk Torah Hashem the Sicha, so the Dalad Niyur on the Kesher Shalosh and the Kesher Shalyad, Rashi claims those are Halacha Moshe Mitzina as well, should also require kosher, leather from a kosher animal, based on the pasuk of Torah Hashem Yisicho, and the halacha version of Sinai, the Luchos and Lech Hashemayim, should only refer to the Bai Shalyad. Then should only refer to the Bai Shalyad, where there's no kedusha ksav at all, no atheist at all. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says you need the halacha version of Sinai of the Luchos and Lech Hashemayim, and all the Torah Bevad. The Gemara says you need that halacha version of Sinai for the Ritzuah. For Tzaddik Tam Rashi, the halacha version of Sinai kesher includes also that the kesher shalosh should be in the shape of a dalit. And the Kesher Shalyad must be in the shape of a yud. So why do you need this separate halakha measure to see
what
the
concept? How you make it, in other words, the shin on the how's it made?
But the fleece is, and you pull it out.
Now you're actually shaping it in the form of writing.
Right.
By the kesher, by the shemiyah,
that's
the writing.
Because
the
sweetest
thing, the writing thing,
is to
make a letter.
Right. So that's what the Biskarov points out in his sefer. Rabbi has in the sefer on the Rambam. He points out, if you look in the Rambam has the following phrase. The Rambam writes, you must have a kesher on the shemiyah that should be in the shape of the yud. That's how the kesher on the shemiyah is two as dal, should be in the shape of the dal. He doesn't say the Kesher Shoyad is a Yud, and the Kesher Rosh is a Dal. He says, on the Shorosh, you make a Shin. He doesn't say you make Kamatim. He says, you don't say you tweezes, you take tweezes and you pull it out till the leather that's sticking out looks like a Shin. He says, you make a Shin on the Shorosh, on the Bai Shorosh. And on the Kesher Shoyad and Kesher Rosh, he says, you make a Kesher Shoyad that should look like a Yud, and the Kesher Shorosh that should look like a Dal. So Rabbi says that apparently is Rashi Shita as well, that Halachah Moshim Sinai, Kesher Shasun, Halachah Moshim Sinai, Rashi holds, that the yud in the dal are also halacha moshim sinai, but they're still not osiyos. They're just sharim that look like osiyos. In contrast to the shin on the shorosh, this is really a shin. It's really a kedusha sat. That's why the Gemara says in Shabbat Bat Kocher that Torah Hashem Mefichah, min amut Mefichah, only applies to the bayis shorosh and of course to the parshiyos because they have kedusha terrorism, mamish terrorism, but it doesn't apply to the ritzus. Tezis disagrees with Rashi though. Tezis disagrees with Rashi and says it's not true. And when the Gemara says that kesher shel tefillin is halacha l'moshim nisim, it just means that there should be a kesher on the shalyad, and there should be a kesher on the shalosh, but the shape of the yud and the shape of the dalet is only the rabbanim. It's not a din director. That's not halacha l'moshim nisim. So Rashi and the Rambam both disagree and insist that both that there should be a kesher, and the specific shape that the kesher should be in, should look like a yud, look like a dalet, that too is part of the halacha l'moshim nisim. They really are mutter b'hanor. Let's say, a nevela trefer is mutter b'hanor, and a lion in the tiger is also mutter b'hanor. We just have the following bin. Although it's mutter b'hanor, one is not permitted to be in the non-kosher food business. You're not allowed, let's say if a person went hunting, and he went hunting to get deer, and then by mistake he caught a non-kosher animal, so once he has it already, so he may sell it to a goy. You know the goy is going to use this for eating, for food purposes. But to go hunting specifically to get non-kosher food or to be in the business to sell trays of food, that the Gemara says is not allowed. If it's mitamnulov, not for food is mitamnulov, let that person sell chicks for footballs or something, or for gloves. So then the Gemara says, okay, let's say a person hunts foxes for the fur, not for the food purposes. That's okay. And then Chachma Sardam, who is a businessman, Chachma Sardam has a kula, he says that, What if you hunt a fox basically the main intention is for the fur, to make a lot of money?
Yeah,
mink, whatever. And then you tell a mink also, so he says the mink is the flesh is called the zamnolo. That's on the side. It just happens that he got some flesh also. But basically, even though the chatzir is already called up all the customers that are going to sell you the meat and sell him the fur, but still since the main purpose of hunting, the guy's not by the nefesh to go hunting to get the meat. He could catch animals that much more meat. The only reason why he catches the mink or whatever boxes is for the fur, and then the meat is just on the side, so that's called Nizamnullah. That's not called that he's going into the business to buy and sell, or to get and to sell trays of food. Let's say a person, one fellow in Yeshiva invests in businesses. He suddenly has some kind of a stockbroker. So that's you're not allowed to do, you know. To buy folks and then to sell them, that means if you're buying trays of food, then you're selling it. When the price goes up, that's what you're not allowed to do. Even though it's not the living. Right. If you take options, that's a different thing. If you just buy futures, that's a different thing. But if you actually buy shares in the trays of food and then you sell it, when it goes up, so that's not allowed. So the shayla over here is, he calls up the broker, and he tells his broker to they buy 120 different stocks from different companies in order that if one goes down, so you won't lose your money because the others are rolling. Something is bound to go up. So he tells the broker, buy whatever you want, but don't buy me any pork belly. See, the broker say, hang up the phone and says, Relish can cut, get yourself a different broker. Either you take it or you leave it. I invest millions of dollars, and he says, either you take all the 120 stocks that I invest in, or you don't bother me. I'm not going to invest your money in only 119. And one of them is the 120th is trace of stuff. So their damage, that's the same as their Chachma Sardim. This Bacher is still a Bacher. This Bacher Yeshiva is really not interested in the pork belly. He's really interested in the kosher stuff, but the stockbroker doesn't want to invest in him unless he also takes the whole deal. He has to buy the trace of stuff and then sell it when it goes up also. So he has to shalom, God, shalom, and she told him that it was mutter. That's also called Nizamnullah. That there's no issue to be in the business. It's not Osabanwa. Non-Koshanit is not Osabanwa. Let's say I'll catch a lion and sell it to the zoo. So nobody's going to eat the lion over there. They're buying the lion, so it's not for eating purposes. So then it's mutter. To be in the business of selling non-kosher animals, not for the purpose of eating, is mutter. To be in the business to sell it for eating, for Jews. For Jews, there's an issue the right to look evil if he's initial. That's a different issue. To sell a church for the Jews. Now to be in the business specifically to get it and then to sell it to goyim, not to Jews. So what could be wrong? There's no violation if neither the seeking mitzvah, they're permitted to eat non-kosher food. And all the chase animals are mutabana. The Gemara says based on speaking the wrong mutabana. But this is a separate issue. If you sell it for the purpose of eating a food and it's a non-kosher food, then it's not allowed. If you have basa b'chala, that's also b'chala. Basa b'chala is also b'chala, that you're not allowed to sell. Let's say some of the dog food have a shah. A lot of dog food has... That's right. There's a shayla in this, whether
they
have
thousands of
items, that's what you get. No, you have shares specifically in a corporation that only has choice of food. Only choice of food. So that's the question in general. When you have shares in a corporation, when that means you have a right to make money over here, you're giving them your money, you have a right to make money, or it means that you own a partnership in everything that they have. That was a big machlokes of the Gedolim in Europe before the war. How to consider corporations. So some development says that Rabbi Soloponovich has a Zecha Yitzchak. So he says, when you have shares, so he says the shot nearly is that you have a course to make money over here, but it doesn't mean that you really own, let's say, you have shares in a liquor or shares in a chametz company. So he says, you don't have to sell your chametz. There's no, you don't have to sell it, there's no chametz of Allah Pesach. You don't own anything over there. Just you have a course to make some money on the deal, that's all. And other parts, and the Dvar Avram, the Kav Merav, thinks not, he doesn't think that the halacha should recognize this fictitious bylin of the corporation and say that you just have a right to gain or to lose. Halacha considers it that you are a shittus, just that you have limited liabilities, that's all. That you can't lose more than the money that you put in, but it doesn't mean that you're not a bylin. That's the Shailan did, whether owning shares in the corporation should be considered that you really own a chayrik of a shittus or not, you just have a clue to make money. That's the shayla for the chametz. Do you have to sell the chametz or not? So you have to sell your shares in the chametz. Did they come in? The big machlokes.
The question is,
do you buy
the chametz like
global?
Corporation.
Is there a bit of chametz or not? Right. So some parts say that there's no din about real body mitzvah at all because the Jews don't really own it. Those who have shares don't really own the chametz. The corporation, the dummy corporation, owns the chametz. Whatever you call it, the entity of the corporation owns, and the people have rights to gain it, to lose money based on how many shares they have. But it's not that they really own the ship system and the merchandise that they have in the store. That's the machloek, it's a big machloek. Now the more continues with another din regarding the tune. Abai saying another din on the shalosh. Just like the shin shalosh was only a din on the shalosh, he has another din. The tzarash yagiya charit l'mekom hatzar. You must have in the shalosh four separate distinct compartments, and you should put in the parasha, kadesh, agiriyata, each parasha should be placed into a separate compartment. How far down does the charit have to go? You're supposed to have leather going, the whole bai shalosh is supposed to be made of leather. So the leather has to go up and down, then up again and down, and up again and down. So you have four different compartments, then you have to push them together to make a perfect square on it, as best you're able to. So how far down does this crack in between the second and the third and the fourth compartment have to go? So first Abai is of the opinion, Sashi, here ha-charit, the charit, the separation where the leather goes down and up again, has to go all the way down until the makom ha-tsar. Mamish, fill the bottom. Fill the place over here where you're going to be throwing the filling around, the top to the bottom. That's the crack has to go all the way down. The Gemara says we don't really talk to him like that. Abdimi Nadoma, Abdimi from Nador says it's not so. Okay, the Minkar, Lutzer, as long as when you look on the outside, when they're making the tefillin, as long as you see that the crack goes in a little bit, but yes, you can't even, nothing is minka, because they push the four compartments so closely together, and they glue them together, because they don't want the ribua, they don't want the square to be ruined, so they glued everything together. But let's say before they glued it together, before they pushed it in, so you can see, it looks like there are four different compartments in the top. Even though it doesn't go all the way down, so Abdimi says that that's kosher. You don't have to insist that it should go all the way down. The Amar Abai has another thing that we're not going to talk to like this. The Amar Abai said another din, high kill for the tefillin, the cloth, the parchment on which you write the tefillin, start from Midrash, you have to check it before you begin to write your parshiyos on it. You should hold it up to the light or to the sun to see if there are any holes. See if the light will go through. Why? Then there is Bereisa. Maybe there'll be a hole in the parchment. Ubeinu ksiva tamo v'lekor. And the pasuk says, "Uchtav tom am mezuzah be'sefer shorecha." So "uchtav tom" means "yichasata otam." You should write the parsha. These words should be alavavech. The guys of Bom, you should speak to the Torah. You should write them, write this parsha. On the Zuzit Tzach Hashem. So the Gemara Darshan is in addition to the Pshutu Shal Mikra. Uchtav Tom, you should write them, the Chatzav Tzach Hashem. The Gemara Darshan, Uchtav Tom, the Ktiva should be a Ktiva Tamo. It should be a perfect Ktiva. You shouldn't make a sloppy job. Let's say it's a sloppy job. So if you're going to write on a piece of parchment that has, and the carving that has holes in it, and the ink will be going over a hole, there's going to be a crack in the letter. So that letter has a crack. That's a Ktiva Bilti Tamo. That's not a Ktiva Vishle Musa. Rabbi says that before, he recommends to the Sofrim, before they start to write the parchment, they better check the cloth, the parchment, to make sure they're not in the carbon, no holes. Otherwise the whole parchment will be ruined. They'll have to put it in the shemus and start all over again. And then the Gemara says, Rabbinim min adoha, just like before. We don't pass like Rabbi because Rabbinim disagreed with him. So here again, Rabbinim from Nador says, Loi Tzara, it's not necessary to check the cloth, to hold it up to the sunlight, or to a candlelight, to see if there's any light coming through. If you look at the cloth and you don't see any holes, you don't worry about the infinitesimal holes. The microscopic holes don't bother us. Why? Kumas the butterfly, the kumas means the pen. The pen will be better for you, means if you're right and you can't see any cracks, it's kosher. If you can't see any cracks to the naked eye, then it's okay. Here's yourself. A tiny hole doesn't bother. And that's the halacha showing up. The only shaila is that Mishnah Berurah has a shaila. Let's say if you have an oyster and say there's a crack in the letter, if it's nicker that there's a crack, that's not good. If it's not really nicker unless you look very closely, then it's good. Then the oyster is good. So they tell you how close are you supposed to look. You have to look from 12 inches away, from 6 inches away. The Mishnah Berurah gives a stop over here. How far away are you supposed to stand in order to judge whether the crack is nicker or ain't nicker? Because the person will say if the crack is ain't nicker, then it is exceeded talent. And it does not pop like I'll do me from that door. Now the Gemara has another halacha on Moshe Mishina. Amar Rav Yitzchak quotes, Ritzuah Shchoros halacha on Moshe Mishina. The halacha is that the Ritzuah must be black. It's interesting. He doesn't say anything about the batim, whether the batim has to be black or not. That's the Tosafot comment on this Gemara, Ritzuah Shchoros. Only the Ritzuah has to be black. The Tosafot says, towards the bottom of the Yomah, Yesh, Ha'otim, batim shall fill the cloth lovam. There were some people in the days of the Tosafot who had white batim. Why? The Rabbinah Shchoros had a Ritzuah. The only thing that has to be black is the Ritzuah. In the Batim, there's no thing that has to be black. And other Mishnayim disagree. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Machlokes, whether the Batim has to be black or only the Ritzuah has to be black. So we are Machlokes, we say that even the Batim has to also be black. So we assume that only the top of the Batim, we mentioned the Batim only the top. Shaim, according to Taisus, it does not have to be black at all.
No, there's no color requirement at all.
According to the other Mishnah, it has to be shchor, it has to be black. What hates black? Because then we mentioned the Mishnah Berurah says, when the Gemara has a din that something has to be shachar ka'orev, black like a raven, that means jet black, like this. Absolutely the darkest black you have. The Gemara doesn't say shachar ka'orev, it just means it should be a dark color. So the Gemara says regarding Dam Hanida, the Dam Hanida is the time they four shades of red. And black, so the Gemara says the black dam is mitam only shalcha kol. It's absolutely jet black. If it's grayish, then it's slightly light, then it's not mitam. That's because the Gemara says there's shalcha kol, black like a raven. Here the Gemara just says shalcha. The Mishnah Berurah says in the Gemara of Rafia that, let's say if you have film, it makes them brown. It'll also be good. Any dark color, dark blue, any dark color will be good. As long as it's not a light color. That's what he says in Chiddush, yes. No, some dark red. No, it has to be a darkish color. Yeah, it should be a darkish color. That's what he says. But the halacha doesn't really say shachar kol.
Why is it black? There is no halacha about black.
No, what stripe? There's no din at all that's
strange.
There
might
be
different colors
now. Yeah. It's just the machlokes that the tzitzis have to have chelis in them. If you have chelis, you have chelis. But in Chel, we pass in Chel as Namiyak, and the Mishnah, the Mitzvah, we do it today, is Shalai Bishlai Musa. We are not completely being the kind of Mitzvah of Tzitzis, because the Mitzvah Bishlai Musa is a love and with the Chel. But the Mitzvah, the Chel does not come from a certain fish, it's called a Halov, and we don't know exactly what the identity of the fish is, so we don't make any Chel as well. So the Rishonim have an argument exactly what color is the Tchelet supposed to look like. Rashi and the Rambam have an argument. So Rashi and Chumash write at the end of Parashat Shlach. The end of Parashat Shlach. Rashi says that the color of the Tchelet is like the color of the sky at midnight. And the Rambam writes that the color of the Tchelet is the color of the sky at noon. Quite a difference. According to the Rambam, it's light blue. According to Rashi, it's very dark blue. Very, very dark. Bordering on black. It's the Tzeret Yisrael points out, this Machlok. The Tzeret Yisrael has a kuntres on the Tchelet. And it's Tzeret on the Mishnah, it's in Royas. So he points out a complete different version between Rashi and the Rambam. What color the Tchelet is supposed to be? So I always assume that that's why the stripes on the Tzeret are black, because Rashi sheet is that the Tchelet is supposed to be like the color of the sky at midnight. I thought that that's a Zech on the Tchelet. I don't know. That's in the Gemara, right? That's in the Gemara later. Right. I don't know, it's night time. It's also not light. I don't know. Here we have a machlokes whether the din of shachar, tefillin, must be shachar only refers to the Ritzuit. Or it means even the rituals have to be shachar. The batin certainly should be shachar. In addition to the batin, the rituals as well should be shachar. Then the Gemara goes ahead to discuss how much of the rituals have to be shachar. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, Alef Akasha, Tfilin, Ein Kosher Marzon. When you tie the batin to the arm, or you tie the shalosh to the head, you have to tie it with rituals. So what do the rituals consist of? What kind of material? So the Brachah says, Ein Kosher Marzon, Elav Aminam. The rituals must be also from leather. You cannot have a suit from cloth or from rubber or synthetic material or something. It has to be darker from leather. What color they have to be? They're Yerokos, whether they're brown. Yorok in the Gemara usually means brown or yellow. And not in Hebrew, Yorok means green. In the Gemara, green is called Yorok to Karasi, green like grip. Green like Karasi is green. But whenever it says Yorok, it means brown.
Brown?
Yes, brown or yellow. The Gemara speaks about a woman has a Riyas Nida, Dama Yorok. None of the women had green dust. They had brown or yellow. It says Dama Yorok means brown or yellow. And the Zoya talks about that's what the Mishkanot Yanka has to choose. It says in the Zoya that the Esrog, Mitzvah Min HaMukha, the Esrog should be Yorok. So Chesidim HaMakra, that they get green Esrog. So the Mishkanot Yanka has a whole tribute, says green has to be possible. The one says green is a Mara possible. It has to be brown or yellow. What do you do with the Zoya? Says, the Zoya says Yorok. Yorok means brown or yellow. Everybody knows Tyson says like that. The Yorok means brown or yellow. What does he have? Green?
Green.
Oh, that's correct. That just makes it clear. Yarok Kikarsi means green. It says just from yarok, that means brown or yellow. So the Brisa says that the tefillin, the ritzuis, thinks that his wife was playing with his tefillin and is in his dam from dama mitanitrum. So the Gemara is asking Akasha, how can we say just before that the Ritzuas, Rav Yitzchak says the Ritzuas, Halacha Mashi Mitzirai, that they must be Shchoros, must be black, that the Brisa says that it doesn't matter, it can either be black, or it can be brown, or yellow, or any color, as long as you don't make it red. And that is only a reason to the Rabbanu, why? I mean, I thought you can have it red also. So the Gemara asks that Kasha. So the Gemara finally comes to the answer and says, and then 20 lines later, the Gemara says, Loi Kasha, no contradiction, Kami Bifnim, Kami Bakur. That's what we do. The only part of the ritual has to be black is the outer part of the ritual. The inner part that's facing the body, doesn't matter what color it is. So then the Brisa says, the inner part of the ritual can be brown, can be yellow, can be green, can be black, any color but red. So the Gemara says, Takasha, but if it's the inner part, that the Brisa says, that we don't care what color it is, as long as it's not red. So what do I care if it's red? So the Gemara, even this means, if the Brisa is referring to the inner side of the ritual, no one's going to see what's the inner side. So what do I care if it's red? No one will think that he has a bleeding nose, that he has some kind of a sickness or something. Most says, no, it didn't in the Natasha right. Sometimes the ritual gets turned over. So the Nikola in the halacha is that only the outside of the ritual has to be black, and the inside could be any color other than red. And the batin is a question. So Tosafos claims the batin don't have to be black at all. The halacha mentions it doesn't apply to the batin. And other Rishonim disagree, and the Shulchan Aruch quoted as an achleit. Other Rishonim disagree and say no, that the Gemara meant to say that even the rituals have to be black. Koshkin and Bakim certainly have to be black. The Chabad Chaim has an interesting Kiddush in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, you have very long rituals. And you roll the rituals down and you have to kind of sit, and then you have to left over the rituals and you wind it around. So what if it's bottom, the very tip of the rituals, the paint is worn off, the coloring is worn off, and it's faded there, it's not black, it's white. Mamish wife. So you would have put down the half of that part of the tefillah, disregard that part. What if the tefillah would have been an inch shorter? A foot shorter, it wouldn't be good. He says, no, if you thought it shorter, it's good. But if you leave it the way it is now, even though you have a sheer hechsher tefillah without that part, unless the tefillah is very wide, and it's not black the whole width of the tefillah, you could have made the tefillah thinner the whole way down. So he says, no, just because you could have made it thinner doesn't help. If right now you have part of the tefillah that's on the outside, the inside side doesn't bother any more. But the outside side of the tefillah must be black every stitch of the way, every inch of the way. And if you have one part that's not a darkish color, because it doesn't have to be dark, dark black, any darkish color is good. This is if you have part that's whitish on the outside, even though you could have done without that part. But Kogman is still attached, he says that it's possible. Then the chiddush is that it's not kosher tefillin. You have to be makdana. A lot of times you have tefillin that are very long, and at the end it doesn't have the sheer. It has the sheer hechsher of tefillin, but at the end part it's not really essential for the hechsher of tefillin. It's not black. Regarding the batim, we are only mashka the batim on the top. We don't make them black on the bottom. How come? If it's a part of the body that touches the hair. Yeah. How come we don't make it black on the bottom? So we assume that it's the same as your tefillah. That's why we assume only the outside part has to be, the chuppah has to be black. But when we assume it doesn't have to be black, we assume the bottom is the same thing. And if they suggest the Rosh, a little case by Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So just like the Talmud of the Rosh, it went and wrote all of the strange, all of the unusual, not strange, very unusual, and Huggis, and the Huggin and Dean and whatever of the Rosh, and how he had his Seder, he had invention of everything, different Seder, everything was just... people think the Rosh Hashanah Seder is only good, he just had Seder 2.5 months, had 1.5 months. The whole thing is this. Look in the Maizu Rav, he has no similarity living. The whole Chayim was just, everything was invented in this. So it's just like they had a Seder of the collection of the different Hanhagas of the Rosh Hashanah, and different in the way everybody else does. There's such a Seder by a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that's called Kesser Rosh. But the author of this text is Abosha Tiktina. He said she went into the Rosh Hashanah while Chaim Volozhiner was alive. And he wrote this poem, Birchas Rosh, that's on Nozir, printed in the back of every Zohar Neshach, printed in the back of the Gemara. And he wrote the text, Birchas Rosh and Brachas also, the Shurim that he said in the Rosh Hashanah, he went straight, he went from Brachas to Nidus straight, he said Shurim and everything. He wrote up two Mesichtas, he wrote up Brachas and he wrote up Nozir. So he wrote a little paper called Kesser Rosh, his name is Rabasha, his son are called Rosh, Rosh Hashanah is Rabasha. And in Kesser Rosh, he quotes all of them in Hogim and the Hanhogas of Abchayim Olozhiner. If people think that the Maaseh Rav is something unusual, they should look in the Kesser Rosh. He has like some moss, not a Kesser Rosh. We don't know where in the world he does these things. So the Kesser Rosh of Chaim Volozhiner is that when he was younger, he'd be like all the good Jews in the world, but he had children. They were black over here, black over there. Good, the Yosef of Yisro, he came to the realization somehow that you have to blacken the bottom of the bottom also. Although the Gemara says that the Rosh don't have to be black on the outside. And on the inside, on the bottom, it can be Yerokos, it can be Shkaros, it can be Levonos, anything but that. But on the bottom, not only do we tasken against this, but it has to be Shkaros on the outside. It has to be Shkaros on the bottom. It has to be Shkaros the bottom part that's touching it. That is what he held in Ikarat in. And then he held as a personal private Kumya, he used to be Mashka the both sides of the Rosh. Why? Because the Gemara tells us in the last verse, in my cotton, that there was one of the Amoraim who one day was putting on something, he had to sleep, so he put the tefillah on upside down, so the black part was not on the outside. So the Rishonim says he told so good about it that he fasted for 40 days. So Rishonim explained, why did he fast for 40 days? Because the Rishonim says here that the tefillah shcharet is halakha Moshe Sinai, that was not time in the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu was on Sinai for 48 to 49. And those 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave more of the halakha to Moshe Sinai. So the Beis Yosef says, that's why he said the 40 days, connected the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Sinai, getting used halakha to Moshe Sinai. He violated the din that was a halakha, the Moshe Sinai. He violated the din that was learned in the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Sinai, so he fasted for 40 days. So didn't want Chas V'Shalom to violate this design of Sinai of putting on the ritual upside down, that's what sometimes be. After three, so he made the both sides of the Ritzua black. But that wasn't the Ikar Adin, that's the Mark of the Fish. The Ikar Adin is enough to have the outside black. That was the personal private Chumra that we should never fall in having the Ritzua upside down. But the Ba'yish Al-Rosh, the Ba'yish Al-Rosh and the Ba'yish Al-Yad, that he had the bottom black and also, the Yezik Musa, that he thought that's the Ikar Adin.
When you paint it both black, you know which is black.
Yeah. Well, it's doesn't matter, yes. Doesn't matter.
It's not. You know, there's shining on the side, we have it, another rock is on the other side. That doesn't
mean anything. No. So now the Braitha continues. We just read the beginning of the Braitha and we read the end, where the Gemara entered the Kasha. Now the Braitha continues. Braitha started off by saying, Tefillin, you can be out of any color you want, the Ritzut can be any color, provided they're not red. And then the Gemara starts, the Braitha starts to debate the point. What do you mean to tell me that the Ritzut and Tefillin must be doctored, made from leather, and they may not be made from anything else, and Kosher must melt the Minam? Omar, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, says it's third night of the time, Rabbi Akiva, there was once a student of Rabbi Akiva. Shahaya kosher tzilav, he used to tie up his tzilav, in other words, the tzilav were the Lashon HaShel Tchelot. Instead of the tzilav of leather, he had the tzilav of tchelot, of wool. Of wool dyed the blue. The Lo Yom Eloi Dover, Rabbi Akiva didn't start up at the time, and he allowed him to wear tzilav like that. But Rabbi Yehuda said to the Tanakhama, Efshar, if it's tzilav, what tzilav, what tzilav, what could it be? Rabbi Akiva said, the Tanakhama, where himself was tzilav? He had the Ritzuas made from cloth and he didn't tell him. So Yehuda argues and says, obviously what the key to Shisha is, that the Ritzuas don't have to be light, you can have cloth Ritzuas also. So he argues with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says the Ritzuas must be the Ninam, has to be leather, the same kind of material as the Batim and the Parshios, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Amrulai, so the Gemara says the other Chachamim. Amaloi, so the Tanakhama argues back to Rabbi Yehuda and he says, hey, that's true. Leira also, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva never saw that Talmud put on a tzilin. Leira also, if he would have seen him, certainly lo haya manicha. He wouldn't have allowed him to wear such tzilin because the pasuk, because the din insists that the Mitzvah must be gafka made from leather. Then he now quotes another story. Rabbi Yehuda quoting another story. Ma'isa behulkinet, the Rosh Rav, Leza ben Hulkinet. This is the famous of Leza Havorwa, Leza ben Hulkinet. The one who is a super genius. So he had a son who was a kosher tefillah by Roshana Shalag Gomer. What was that tefillah? And the tefillahs were not made of leather, they were made of cloth. Dyed purple, a different color. The Loyama Lag Gomer, Ablezer never said anything to his son. Ablezer was a taki. He used to scream all the time. He used to put these machem on top. He didn't tell his own son that he should put on the tefillahs of leather. Actually, also tried to go up and over. Like, Yichol, boy, can't it be Ablezer let his son wear a special tefillah? On below, so they answered back to Rabbi Yehuda. That's right, Haim, that's correct. Loyama also. He never saw his son wear tefillah. He found it in a different minute. If he would have seen his son wear tefillin, lohayla manicha, he wouldn't have allowed him to continue wearing tefillin. That's possible, because Allah insists that the mitzvahs must be from leather. And Rabbi Yehuda denies it. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana quotes the story of Akiva Talmud. They quote the story of that leather's son, that Burkinis, better leather than Burkinis. And he's here. Rabbi Yehuda's insisting that the mitzvahs don't have to be leather. We pass them against Rabbi Yehuda. We pass them like the Hacham. And then he's more told of the whole guys are just to ask the kasha. How can you say the Ritzuas have to be black if the Braitha says they can be any color? So the Gemara says, on the inside it doesn't matter, and on the outside will not. That's probably not. Then the Gemara continues with another din of Tzum. Finally, we have a Braitha, Tzum, the Rebels, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina. There's another Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina wrapped down in the Chumash, not based on any color. The Tzum must be in a square. That's in a square shape. Oh my, Rav Papa, what has to be square? So Rav Papa says, the Tzum will be Alak Sonam. Exactly what does that mean? So the simple translation, the Shitun Kubet gives a simple translation over here, that you have to have two things have to be square. Let's say this is the bottom of the tomb, this is the base of the tomb, and here you have the top part sticking up. So the Gemara of the Prophet seems to be saying, and then on the base you have the tzuris, you have to have the... So this is the base of the tomb, it goes like this, and then you fold it over, and then you sew it up. This is my tzum, I stuck in the top part. This is the bottom. And I sold it over and I have to sew it up. And he mentioned that it has to be true. It's the connection between the top and the bottom should be by tzum, not by gluing. So for the person said many times, the stuff and glue it together, and if it holds well, then they put in a tzum. The tzum are just the ceremony. The tzum are not gluing the chab of the top to the bottom. Now, Halacha says that the top of the bias has to be connected with the bottom, how you get that tzum. So the proper thing is to sew it first and then to glue it up again. So when you sew the top of the bottom, how many here that we have three stitches here, three here, but some folks have 12 stitches, that's how they show it to close to the Shem, can I get the Yudei Shvat? What does the Yudei Shvat have to do with the Tzuron? It's a little bit unclear. I want to see something, I'll pick up all of it, that's what they show to close to the Shem, the Oya Moya. I want to be showing the right how to make a third tzuron. So the Gemara seems to be saying, that's how the Shem is the best to translate it. When you make these tzuros, connecting the top of the base with the bottom of the base, which is all together, the tzuron should be in the shape of a square, the top one. And then the Gemara says, will be alap sonon. It means like this. You can have a figure with four sides, with four sides being equal, and it won't be a square. Is that for the Rambam, I think? No? Because it has the top and the bottom will be like this, and then the side will be like that, and the left will be the same, right, but it won't be 90 degree angles, so each, it will be different degrees of angles. So the Gemara is saying that that's not good. You have to have, not only should all the four sides be equal, the alakim should be equal, the diagonal running from one side to the other, right, from the other side to that, should be equal also, so now you have to be a square. So the Gemara says the word, balakonon, the alakim should be the same, the two crisscrosses should be equal in distance, these should be a square, not a rhombus. And the Tzotzon is telling you what part has to be a square. What has to be a square? The Tzvirus. That's a simple translation of the Gemara. Rashi doesn't translate like that. Rashi says, when now we have all kinds of fancy machines to make Tzvirim and everything, but in times of the Gemara it was a big job until very recently. And when you sew the Tzvirim together, you can ruin the whole, you can ruin the whole shape of the bathroom. The Rashi says, the Papa is just commenting, the Tzvirim of the Arach Tzvirim. When you do the tzira of the tzira, you should be careful not to ruin the ribua of the bayis. So not that the tzira has to be meruba. The tzira doesn't have to be meruba. The bayis has to be meruba. So what are you talking about the bayis? So it seems to be referring to, what are you spelling that you may ruin now? It doesn't refer to the thing that's sticking up on top. That you're not spelling. That's not going to get ruined. So that's not going to get out of shape if you do a poor job of spelling on the bottom. It means that the bottom should be a perfect square. When you sew the base together, the top and the bottom of the base together, you should be careful not to sew it poorly. So it's to ruin the square shape of the base. So Rashi already has it in, Rashi learns the Gemara that the outside shape of the base should be a square. That's how we're makpin. The outside shape is a square. The Shikin Kuvetta says the top one, that the tier should be a square. We're makpin on that also. And then other Rishonim say that in addition to that, Tezis raises the question, in addition to that, the bayis should also be a square. The bayis that sticks up should be a square on top.
Yeah, and
three. Then in addition to that, your Moshe Tainus, it should also be a square, then it meets the bottom over here. Sometimes you can have, let's say, on the bottom it won't be exactly a square, and then it will lean over a little bit, and on top it will taper, and then on top you'll have a square. So we are not saying you should have a square in four places. The top of the bias, let's say, should be a square. Top of the Shayyara should also be a square. Right? And then on the bottom where it meets the base, it should also be a square. The tzira should be a square, and the bayis, the base of the bayis should be a square. Four things are marked. So it doesn't have to be a cube. That's just because, you know, it could be much taller, than it is longer wide. We don't care how tall it is. It doesn't have to be an exact cube.
It's the top part.
The area on top. The top should be a square, where at least the bottom should be a square. That's what we mark down. And the square should be from the leather. That is a scandal that was just discovered recently, that in Eretz Yisrael it has such beautiful film that you have all the squares, everything is square, but it's a big floor. The leather is not square. The leather they do a poor job on, and the most expensive film. The leather they do a poor job on, and then they take a lot of glue, a lot of press, and they just stick it on and make it into a square. So that's not good.
So the stump, is that what the stump just found out?
No, they discovered this around 6-7 years ago. Big scandal on that. They had discovered that all the films that were made in the last 10-15 years before then should make like that. The people bought film 20-30 years before, the expensive ones were always good. And the last 10-15 years before then, they were just filling in the square by adding on more plaster in order to fill it in. So if you patch with the dinner, there has to be a square from the leather, not by adding on other plaster. So I care. The Mishnah Gagat has a famous tshuva where he patches all of our film. The way they make film today, the Mishnah Sankar has a tshuva at the Ankele Kalina. He's also Talmudim of Abchaim Alojan, from the first group of Alojan Yeshiva. He has a famous tshuva, he says, all the tshuva are no good. He says, the way they make film today, they make it meruba, it's a perfect square. And then they paint on a lot of shir, they paint on a lot of tiach, on top of the bayis in order to protect the leather. They don't want to have the leather rubbed out all the time by the sleeve or by rubbing against the body and so on. So they smear on a lot of paint, a lot of coating, a thick coating, not so that the painting gets absorbed, the color gets absorbed, like on the Yitzhua. You have a Yitzhua, you paint it so that the dye gets absorbed in the Yitzhua. On the bottom, the dye doesn't get absorbed. It's a thick coating around a 16th of an inch or something. And if you tear it off, you're going to get chunks, you're going to fall off. You have chunks of coating fall off from the Baisha Rosh or the Baisha Yad. So he finds it's a hot tool, the Gemara said in Sanhedrin, by a priest and showing the Eretz Avir, it's possible. So he finds it still not only applies, if you put another fifth parasha that doesn't belong, if you put anything that doesn't belong, it's possible. So he says, the coating on the outside doesn't belong.
It changes the
ribua. Right, the ribua has to be square based on the leather, not based on what you add on. Right. That everybody is kind of like that, everybody agrees. But he finds a different thing. When you put on a thick coating, you can say that it's buckled out of the bias. And we're all maker on that. We assume that kolba na also ain't a chos. It's anything that you put on in order to beautify the tefillin is brought the lack of the bakim and it's considered part of the bayit. We're maker on that. So he kind of all our tefillin are tefillin. He says you have to take off, you have to remove all of the coating and just have a light painting, a light smear. Sure. They make it thick in order to protect the leather, but it shouldn't get rubbed off. Many people, in order to protect the shalyad, put on a cardboard box to cover it. So this is a shaylan pasuk, this is valid also, because the Gemara says you have to buy a piece on sheni roi tabir, isn't it? This? The Tosfos raises the question over here.
Even while they're wearing it? Not while they take the bracha.
So the Hoffman has a tshuva, and he's taking the lamed lohayim, achelet arachayim. There's a tshuva about this, is there anything wrong with leaving on the cardboard box on the bayi shalyad? Because that some gedolim are makdis, of course different from some gedolim are makdis, that they would take a bracha, put on the shayad, so the shayad bracha wouldn't have any cardboard box on it, and then after they finish putting on the whole film, then they'll put on the cardboard box. Others were makdis, that they wouldn't put on the whole cardboard box when they were davening Kriya Shema and Tula and so on, just when they took off the tefillin, then they would cover it up. And others would even leave the cardboard box on when they said the bracha. In quote from that case, the Tosfos here says ma'abarta. What does it mean ma'abarta? So the Gemara said that the tefillah must have titula, must have ma'abarta. So the titula means the bottom piece of leather that you sew to close up the tefillah. And the ma'abarta means the bridge in the back where you pull the rib through it through. So the Tosfos quotes Yesh Mefarshim in the middle of the Tosfos ma'abarta on the side, left hand side, it says Yesh Mefarshim, right in the middle of that, 15 lines in. Some say ma'abarta means ritzu ktana shemavim l'mayla beis tefillah shel yad. Some Rishonim used to do like this. Some people do it today also. Put on the shayad, and then some people take the ritzu and they put it over the bottom, right, over the ma'abarta. This is called a different meaning. They used to take the ritzu, put it over the whole pizza, put it over the whole shayad, on top of the box, sticking out to hold it down. So that was the one practice like that. They interpreted the Gemara, but that's the way you have to do it. They held that halacha mishum sinah. Now, by the way, you have to pass over the ritzua on top of the bayis shayat. That's how they interpreted it. We don't talk like that. The person says, would we say that you're not yet to the mitzvah, that it's bayis chisah shanuwe tabir, that the ritzua is not a chasitah? The person says, no, it's not attached to the bayis. Bayis chisah shanuwe tabir is only if you attach something to the bayis chasitah, you attach anything to that part. So that's what Rabbi Tzvi Hoffman quotes when he says, if you leave on the cardboard box, it's also good because it's not attached to the bite, it's just sitting on top. It's unsnuggly, it's like a glove on the finger. It's a cover, it's not really attached. But he quotes, others were makdis, many of them were not makdis at all, they left the Ramesha's bracha, others were makdis, not to have Ramesha's bracha, but the shas, kriyashna, tefillah, they would leave it on, and others were makdis, the doctor can remove the cardboard back the whole time. That's the Gemara later. Yeah, the Gemara later has such a havi. I mean, a later mistake. The Gemara says the pasuk says that Hayol lechol yot al yotcha, lechol yot v'lo lachem yot. That the tefillah should be dark on the skin. If you put the tefillah on top of the jacket, it'll be lachem yot. The Gemara says right. So the Gemara says you may not put the tefillah on top of. How do you know that you didn't have tefillah from that pasuk? You're not allowed to put the tefillah on top of the jacket, on top of the shirt, on top of the bandage. So the Pasuk says, L'chol yot, then the Gemara says, you mean to say, it has to be L'chol yot, L'chol yot, you mean you have to dock to cover up the tefillin shel yad? And you're not going to admit that you use it also? So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says, later in this prayer, as long as you put the tefillin, the makom L'chol yot, if you put it on the skin where, you could cover it over with the shirt if you want to, that's good enough. So the Gemara says, there's no need to cover it over with the shirt. And Shulchan Aruch, the Levush says, on the other hand, that you have to cover over the tefillin with the shirt. But that's what he had. Lewis has many times things that are black and white against the Gemara. He was busy with the Vada Arbalos, he was in politics a lot, but he had a lot of things, but he writes a lot of times things against the Gemara. So the Achleim always attacked him, how you write against the Gemara. So here, yes, how can he say this? The Seirish, the Gemara says the Seirish now, so he needs to pay it later on. So Talachan said he's wrong, he forgot the Gemara, he quoted the Havan and he didn't quote the Maskan. And now it's for them for how it fits into the Gemara, because the Chatzchili should cover all the Gemara, but the Yezid Yezid, if he didn't cover the Chatzchili, he should. So that's what they, in the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Lubush. But the proper thing is the Chatzchili, that you should cover over the Tzvah, should cover over the Bayi Sholya. The end of this week's Sedra, the Parashat Tamor, the Chumash lists off all of the various Yamim Tzaytim. Then hand me, I'm entitled to know. It's got some, first it's got some Shabbos. And Rashi quotes right away from the before Shabbos is not a yom, what is it doing here? So the part that needs to stress that all of the Amitai Maloga Nats, there's no punishment of Nisa or Kolei that the person violates the Yisra Maloga and Yantis, but a person should treat the Amitai with the same seriousness as he treats the Shabbos. The one who violates the Yisra Maloga and Yantis should be considered as if he violated the Yisra Maloga and Shabbos. So basically Shabbos doesn't really belong up because Shabbos is just to stress how important the Amitai Maloga was. And then leaving out the Shabbos, which is just sort of an introduction, then it says again, Eilam Yad Hashem. First it says, Eilam Yad Hashem, then it says Shabbos. Then it says again, Eilam Yad Hashem. So obviously that's only an introduction. And it says again, the second time, Eilam Yad Hashem, these are the Yom Tov. So this is off in order. We call it Pesach, then it has Shavuot, then it has Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur and Sukkot, and that's it. But that's not all. Before it gives Pesach, it says, Eretz Pesach, Eretz HaTzeis, to bring in Korban Pesach. And that stood in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't say you bring in Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is Mishkan Yom Tov. Pesach Sheni is a din. If you did bring the Korban Pesach Rishon, you bring in Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Sheni is not a holiday, it's not a Yom. So why does it write that you bring Pesach Nishan? The Chodesh HaRishon says, Eilu Miyad Hashem, Ma'chodesh HaRishon, Abba Asa Hama Chodesh, then Abba Pesach LaShem. Misha Asa Hama Chodesh, Zach Hagamas. You know, Eilu Pesach, Pesach Asa, it's not a Yom, so how is it sitting here? So there's only one answer to this question. So he says, this is obviously what prompted the Yosef Ruah to express his view. There is a bit in the Gemara that Rabban Lotan, if one is in Avelis, one started Shiva, let's say, before Yom Tov. When it comes Yom Tov, so the Shiva ends. When I already finished Shiva, he started Shloshim. When it comes Yom Tov, the Shloshim ends. This is a special thing only on Yom Tov. Shabbos doesn't terminate Shiva and doesn't terminate Shloshim. And the Tosafot is quoting the Tosafot myself, why there is in Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because on Shabbos there's no mitzvah Simcha, whereas on Yom Tov there is a mitzvah Simcha. And the Simcha of Yom Tov is in direct conflict with the Din of Avodah. Simcha and Avodah is a contradictory. Right, Shabbos is a different thing. You don't have Avodah Shekha Eski on Shabbos because it's different because Zuchat Hashem Vitashir. Shabbos is a day of Brocha, a day of blessing, but it's not a day of Simcha. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, what's Eis Yom Tov? What's Eis Yom Tov? So the deal is that let's say a person is observing Shiva on Erev Shavuot, or Erev Sukkot, or Erev Rosh Hashanah, or Erev Yom Kippur. He has to observe on Erev up until the end of the day. He has to wash up, get dressed, okay, not till the end of the day, so till an hour before the end of the day. Until the end of the day. And Erev Pesach, there's an achleit. The Tosafot's opinion is Erev Pesach is the same as every other Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. The person who's in Avelis, Achman Rupan, has to observe his Avelis, has to observe his Shiva till the end of Erev Pesach, just enough time to just wash up and get dressed for Pesach. And the Ramah quotes the Ozerua who disagrees with Pesach. Ozerua says that Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, only Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach, every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov is not, only Erev Pesach. So the room is run right from the Yerodayan. And Shin Tzadik Tes, on this Tzitz, his Gimel, he says, what is the source of this Ozer Ruah? It talks about Gemara, Gemara and Zerachim. And Tzadik Tes, I'm not Gemara, disagree. So he just asks, why didn't the Gemara say something else? And Ozer Ruah says, the obvious thing is that Tzadik Tes, Tzadik Tes, is a din of Yom Tov, and there's no Avedis. The Machlok is Tzadik Tes in the Ozer Ruah. Usually, if we'd have a Machlok is Tzadik Tes in the Ozer Ruah, we would pass them like Tzadik Tes. It's a much more popular issue. But when it comes to Hilchot Avedis, the Gemara gives us a klal, a regulation that Halacha to give our make a ball. Whenever there's any machlokes, any sati kolder, you go to the kula. So there's also sati kolder, so you go to the kula. So the Rambam again says, what is the source of this Ozer Ruah? He says, the source is, number one, Mechumash. The fact that in Parashas Hamor, the Torah writes, Eilam Yad Hashem, and it says, Erech Pesach, 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 to bring the Kol Pesach. Where does that fit in? How does that fit in with the Yom Tov? You see, obviously, that the Yom Tov Pesach, or whatever Yom Tov it is, has already begun. That's already a Yom Tov. And then he says, we have another right from the Gemara. The Gemara says in the fourth Perek in Sochim, that on Erev Pesach, Pesach HaTzeis, there's an Isra Malacha. You're not permitted to do Malacha. And every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you don't have that din. Only on Erev Pesach, Pesach HaTzeis. You see that it's considered like a Chol HaMoed. Erev Pesach, Pesach HaTzeis has a status like a Chol HaMoed. You see that it has an Indian like a Yom Tov. The Shabbos is in the reverse, let's say. The Shabbos in the reverse. The din is that the Yom Tov only cancels the Shiva if the person began the observance of Shiva before, let's say, a Kovet Nesha Borei, the Lepai Yeran Chol HaMoed. So then the Shiva begins after Yom Tov. You don't say that since the Levi was on Chalamoid on the second Yom Tov Sheni, there's no Shiva. You begin to observe the Shiva at the end of the Zohar. So what if Achman al-Aslan does the Levi on Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach HaTzeis? Erev Pesach HaTzeis. So it's like Kovot Nefer Beregio. So you have to start observing Shiva after Pesach is over. So we'll make a way also. We'll make a because Pesach says, Pesach disagrees. Pesach says that Erev Pesach, Erev Pesach HaTzeis, Erev Pesach HaTzeis, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. It takes the kula from both. Like we say, interesting that we say halach is without makeup or other. You can be makeup to start observing shiva. Usually, so you can be makeup, but you don't observe shiva. Here we say no. We'll give you a break. If you want to start observing, if this guy wants to start observing Shiva, yes, we'll allow him to observe Shiva because he wants to gain something. He wants to get rid of the whole Shiva when Tayshah is done. We'll make him go to them. And if the Shiva points out on that sin in Shin Sari Kaya, that the Rabbanim should be more old, the Balabatim, that they all make a mistake, that the Balabatim think that every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, when it comes to Yetzer HaTzoris, is already the Shiva is over. It's not right. And today in America, the Balabatim has already extended it further. They think when it already comes after Shabbos, and Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos is not there. So the Pesach Shiva right, but it's a choice, it's a complete error. The only clue, or the only thing we're making is that Pesach Yetzer HaTzoris has the status of a Yom Tov, and then we don't observe on that. No, this is going to go inside on the last day of the shoot.
No, that's not the day of the shoot.
Which way can you put the
shoot?
That's not in the back. That's not in the back. That's not in the back.